your chaos and coffee with Charles McFall. He's the rock god of podcasting, just kicking down a little chaos right there in your coffee cup. The one and only Charles McFall. With chaos and coffee.
I am the rock god of podcasting, Charles McFall. That is Mike Woodard, the producer at large at Giant Size Team Up Network. And he can make intros for you as well. Go to mike@themike.com or find, I believe it's Samuel M. Woodard over at Fiverr. Check that out. He'll do some great work for you. Thank you, Mike, for joining me Friday, this past Friday at Podcast Movement. We did a live at conference version of Chaos and Coffee, and that has gone out, and it was a blast. So, again, I want to touch on Dallas and everything else that's going on. It's not just Dallas. I mean, we got to talk about what set this off, which was constant killings, police officers killing victims, you know, through a couple of years now. And I'm not saying police officers are hunting people. I have my thoughts and opinions on everything else. But what I want to say here is my heart goes out to everybody who has been a victim, both on either side of the shield, either side of the badge there, and the killing has to stop. But what I want to do with Chaos and Coffee is give you something to talk about. And all your local stations are already talking about this. CNN, Headline News, Fox News, your radio stations, your news stations, everybody's talking about this constantly. There's nothing new I can give you that'll give you something to talk about. So I'm going to bring you some lighter news today, some different news today that perhaps you could talk about at work or at the, having a beer afterwards or on that date this weekend, you know, however you want to do it. I am trying to give you, with Chaos and Coffee, a little something just to start your day off, maybe put a smile on your face and go, that's weird, or give you something to think about or something to discuss. So let's go with science. Do women really go for bad boys? Here's science that settles that question. This is from iflscience.com. You can find this article there. Nice guys finish last is one of the most widely believed maxims of dating. Well, you know, if you're really a nice guy, you will wink, wink, nod, nod. You know what I'm saying? Fleshed out, the idea goes something like this. Heterosexual women might say they want a nice, want nice characteristics in the partner, but in reality, what they want is the challenge that comes with dating a bad boy. This idea is so widespread that some people are even making money off the back of it, selling self-help books and teaching men how to pick up women by insulting them, a practice known as negging, being negative. Recently, an article published by a broadly claimed, quote unquote, everybody knows bad boys are published by Broadly is the place that published it. It's capital B there. Anyway, they claimed everyone knows bad boys are desirable. Thanks to a recent study, this is now scientifically verifiable. The research it refers to is a study published earlier this year. It is linked in the article. You can find the article there on Blog Talk Radio, where I have my home, which suggests that some men smoke and drink because this makes them more attractive to short-term partners. Leaving aside the obvious point that the article is conflating bad, quote-unquote, with drinking and smoking, there's a little inserts here. It's throwing me off. As Girl on the Net writes, badness is really a lot more than just smoking 20 a day or drinking like there's no tomorrow. It is really true that women prefer bad boys, read insensitive macho jerks. Let's take a look at some reliable scientific evidence. One way to investigate the issue is to present women with hypothetical men with different personality types to see which ones they prefer. In one such study, participants had to help a fictional character named Susan choose a date from three male contestants based on their answers to her questions. In one version, the man was nice, he was in touch with his feelings, caring and kind. In another, he was self-described real man who was insensitive and unkind. And the third contestant simply gave neutral answers. So which contestants did participants think Susan should date, and who did they prefer to date themselves? Contrary to the stereotype that nice guys finish last, it was actually the nice contestant that was chosen most frequently for both Susan and for the participants themselves. In another study, the participants who read dating ads in which people described themselves as altruistic, I volunteer at a food bank, were rated as more attractive short-term dates and long-term partners than those who didn't mention such qualities. Other studies have similarly shown that women prefer men who are sensitive, confident, and easygoing, and that very few, if any, women want to date a man who is aggressive or demanding. The picture that emerges is clear. When women rate hypothetical partners, they clearly prefer nice men. In fact, the power of niceness shouldn't be underestimated. Some studies have shown that nice personalities can affect impressions of a person's physical attractiveness. Characteristics such as warmth, kindness, and basic decency are valued by both women and men. Having them make us more desirable partners, but also makes us appear more physically attractive. Now, here's my take on this story. I've never identified with the bad boy or the person who puts people down. What I did get, though, is when I was around girls and what did work, and even worked on my wife to a bit, is that mixture of niceness, but you're funny, your humor was sarcastic, your humor was a little biting. So I was never actually intending to make a woman feel bad about herself or intending to put them down. The humor would be somewhat like that. It would kind of mock them a little bit, get them to laugh at themselves. I might mock myself. Or it was very, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 5 being neutral, let's say 1's positive and 10's super negative, it definitely swept towards the 6, 7, 8 range of the negative, right? It was on that side of it. But what truly, I believe, you know, won my wife over, besides the fact that we were obviously meant to be together. We've been happily married. Well, I mean, we've had our ups and downs. That's a whole other show. It's been out there. Check that out. But we've been married for 16 years. And, you know, we're going strong. But what I know has worked, the things that make her funny, is when I do kind of pick on her a little bit with my humor, but not too much, right? There is a range there. But it's doing the nice things as well. Being the person that you see here, the true, I'm an honest person. That's the thing. If women can trust you, if men can trust you, then that goes a long way past doubts and past unknowns, which was what will happen next. And I mean, I had a horrible temper when my wife met me, but she knew she could trust me because I always, even if it was mean, and I've definitely worked on this, I've always worked hard to say what I think. And I've said some nasty things that were truth, but I could have said them in a much nicer way. I've said some nice things that were truth, and that has worked a lot better. So trust, humor, confidence. Now, I wasn't very confident myself, but the humor, sense of humor, that kind of edgy bad boy sense of humor, definitely gave me an air of confidence that won people over. I've honestly never seen with my own two eyes in real life. Of course, we see it on TV, but that's all, you know, acting. And I'm sure it does work somewhere for some people, but that whole negging thing where they make you feel bad about yourself one way or the other, or the overly aggressive, overly cocky stereotype, I've personally just never seen it work in real life. I only see, you know, some form of truth work. And that's, you know, my take on that. Now, as far as it makes you look better, here's the thing. Confidence, man. Confidence changes everything. You know, I was so unconfident in myself when I was in the dating scene. And I was actually hanging out with beautiful girls all the time. This is in college. And that's who I hung out with. That was who I chose to surround myself with, beautiful young women. And I just never thought so much of myself. I mean, it was so weird. I was so full of myself and yet thought I was so worthless at the same time. It was a storm of events going on. At some point, most of the girls that I hung out with were somewhat interested in me. And I know this because later on, as we really became friends and we just obviously weren't going to be going out, they somewhat told me this thing. They would say, you know, oh, you know, I thought you were so hot or cute or confident or whatever. And I just wouldn't give them the time of day. Or I'd open my mouth and say something. You would get into discussion. I would just tell them what I think. And it would, they're like, oh, yeah, that's not for me. So confidence, when I started dating my wife and I was in there, I mean, we were in the relationship. We weren't just going out. We were together. Man, I saw girls smiling at me all the time, giving me the time of day. And it was great. And I asked my friends, like, what? Man, I couldn't get a girl to look at me twice before I was dating what ended up being my wife, dating Aaron. And my friend explained that principle is because once you're safe, once you're confident in a relationship, you're confident everywhere and it shows and people are picking up on that. So that's what I say you should do. Be confident, be truthful. And what's the worst that can happen? They're alone on a Friday night. If they say no, there's another lonely chick out there or dude or however you go. There's somebody out there to hang out with, to go out with, to be romantically interested in. Just like Nike says, just do it. So here we go. I've got a word from my sponsor over here on Blog Talk Radio. Then I'm going to be back with a story about Pokemon. Coming up next. And I'm back. I am Charles McFall, Chaos and Coffee. Thank you for listening to that ad because it really does help out what I do. I need you guys to help me grow the audience. The ads won't do that, but the ads definitely help me keep this kind of thing going. So Pokemon Go launched while I was at this conference, and I'm watching grown men walk around with their phones up and looking around, having a blast, by the way. They're having so much fun walking around looking for things. I remember I ran into a new guy I met there who became my friend, Bo. I walked into the bar. He saw me hold up. So you're like 1 minute. He's walking around and he said, hey, to me. And I kind of started following him and I looked and he's playing this game and he found some Pokemon right there in the hotel and captured it. And he's just having so much fun. And I'm starting to see more of my friends online who are geeks and play games, those kind of things are putting it out there. And I even came home from the conference to tell my daughter about it, my son and my daughter about it, said, hey, let's see if we can get it on your tablet because it's the kind of thing that you guys would like. It will work on my son's tablet, not my daughter, so I let her use my phone. And, oh, my God, she's so excited because it is cool, right? This game, Pokemon Go, is very, very cool in the sense of you're a real-life Pokemon catcher with your phone, and you walk around, and there it is in real life in your house or outside your house or at your job or at the fast food restaurant you just went to. They're going to be everywhere, and people all over are getting into this and grabbing them and catching them. And there's a gym place, and there's other places, and apparently you can meet up in battle. I'm not exactly sure how it all works, but I've seen some fun things come out of this. It's only been maybe 5 days. I mean, it rolled out, let's see, Friday was the last day of the conference. I think it rolled out Thursday. So it's been out, and this is the Monday edition of Chaos and Coffee. So it's only been 3 or 4 days that it's been out there. However, man, assholes are assholes, and bad things are going to happen. Armed robbers use mobile game to lure players into trap. This is from TheGuardian.com in the UK. I believe The Guardian is out. And the UK, apparently, rollout of Pokemon Go has been delayed. I don't know if it has anything to do with this kind of story, because there are multiple stories like this popping up. But armed robbers used a game of Pokemon Go to lure victims into an isolated trap in Missouri, police reported on Sunday. And I was trying to figure out how this happens, because you can't just make a Pokemon appear. So maybe they tracked it down and hid, but the story gets into that, and I put the pieces together. At about 2 a.m. in O'Fallon, Missouri, officers responded to a robbery report that led them to four people, all local residents aged 16 to 18, in a BMW in a CVS parking lot. The occupants tried to discard a handgun out of the car when an officer approached, said Sergeant Bill Stringer. The officer then identified the four people as suspects of similar armed robberies described in St. Louis and St. Charles counties. The adult suspects were charged with first-degree robbery, a felony, and had bond set at $100,000 cash, Stringer said, which kind of tells you something, by the way. The reason they use adult suspects is because they're juveniles. They're not necessarily saying where the line is, but we know in most places 18 is there, but it can be as low as 14, depending on the state, depending on the crime. So, you know what? You're not going to get off because you're under 18. I'm just saying this is... Stringer added that police believe the suspects used a phone app which directs users to capture imaginary creatures superimposed onto the real world to tempt players to a secluded area where they could easily be robbed. And again, I'm going, I don't understand how they do this. And they kind of guessed at it for a second. But then in a second separate statement, a department spokesperson added to what they were saying about, well, we think it's this, we think it's that. Here's what they figured out. You can add a beacon to a Pokestop to lure more players. Apparently, they were using the app to locate people standing around in the middle of a parking lot or whatever other location they were in. And they'd roll up and rob them of whatever. So the department added this warning. If you use this app or other similar type apps or have children that do, we ask you to please use caution when alerting strangers of your future location. Pokemon Go warns players to keep aware of their surroundings during their virtual treasure hunt. But after only a few days since its release, it has already led people into a string of bizarre incidents. People ended up in hospitals after chasing non-existent animals into hazardous spots because you're not paying attention. And schools, a state agency and Australian police have warned people not to break the law or endanger themselves while Pokemoning. The game has also led wanderers to at least one home misidentified as a church, a venue the app considers a public space. So this isn't news. This is people being the rest of this. The rest of this is just people being stupid. You know, you end up in the hospital because you walked into a bad space because you're not paying attention. I mean, that's the first load screen. Every time you load the game, because I've seen it loaded a number of times, big picture, full screen with a dude on a dock walking into the mouth of a monster, looking at his phone, saying, always be aware of your surroundings. And I think there's even other warnings that pop up on this thing as you're doing this. This is, now I get you, you're going to a house that they think is a church, because they will put up public spots and you can go visit them, churches, stores, those kind of things. But that's not a big deal. You just don't. I don't know if you'd hear that, but that's me hitting my own head going, jeezy crazy. Does our society not have a brain anymore? Apps make mistakes. It happens. And if you see a house in some kind of gymnasium or something, obviously that's a mistake, because every other spot is a public place, like a library or a church. So I don't know. I don't know. It's so frustrating how I know this is early, but this is the society we live in, right? The game comes out and we can't wait to report negative crap about it. I mean, it blew up. I don't know how many millions of downloads it might have gotten in the first couple of days, but I'm sure it has a ton. I mean, Pokemon has been around for a long time. It's a very popular game for adults and children. But we gotta, why is it that we have to find the worst in everything? Why is it we have to, oh, look, Pokemon's getting people killed. Oh, look, Pokemon's getting people robbed. Now, it's news, don't get me wrong. But then the rest of it where it talks about people ended up in the hospital. Then here's what I don't understand, Guardian. Here's what I don't understand. And that's going to be part of my shtick here at Chaos and Coffees. I'm going to talk to the people who wrote this stuff and be like, I don't get where you're coming from. Here's the sentence. Without me interrupting it. People have ended up in hospitals after chasing non-existent animals in hazardous spots and schools. A state agency and Australian police have warned people not to break the law or endanger themselves while Pokemoning. I know the schools thing has a link, but if you're going to link to the story, which is probably your own story, give me a reason to click. I don't. And schools is just kind of ended up. They've ended up in hospitals. Well, because you're dumbass. And school. They've ended up in school. I don't, what? I don't understand. And of course, the people, state agencies and police, whatever, should be warning people, hey, pay attention. You know, stop breaking. And if you have to be told, don't break the law, you're an idiot. And you should know better. So that's that story. It's been interesting to watch my kids play. I'm still kind of holding the reins on, of course, it's my phone, so I don't want my daughter to go off too far with it. But there's Pokemon like across the street. Like, I'm not going into my neighbor's yard to try to get you Pokemon. I mean, it could even be in their house. Who knows? So they are excited. It's a really cool idea to take this game idea that came out in the 80s or maybe 90s. I'm not sure when Pokemon first started. That you're controlling a person in a world that can capture monsters, train them, and then go capture more monsters or fight other monsters and those kind of things. It's fun. And now with our technology, you virtually can do that in real life. You can walk around. There was a Pokemon sitting on my couch last night, apparently. My daughter captured it. And I watched her, and it's really cool because you see the real-world couch sitting right there through the video camera, and there's a digital Pokemon overlaid on top of it. It's a really cool idea. I love it, and I like people do more. So, hey, I want to hear your stories. It has actually been suggested to me that I could possibly use a co-host. I'm not sure about how to work that in. I'm also talking about working with Blog Talk Radio to interview new show hosts or just show hosts in general. So you might get a segment on this show where we're going to talk about the chaos of bringing a new show to Blog Talk Radio and how much that works and how it works for people and get to know some new hosts. So there are different things I'm looking at doing with this show. If you're interested in sending me your headlines, if you're interested and reading some headlines with me and discussing them, let me know. You can find the show over at facebook.com/chaosandcoffee. You can find me at facebook.com/rockoutofpodcasting. You can email me bearcrawling@gmail.com. I will mention all of that here again in just a minute. And of course, where I'll actually give you a place where you can call in. I would love to read your headlines, the ones that you find that you, oh, this is interesting from my neck of the woods, or I was just online and I found this. My wife, Erin, does that often enough for me. She sends me an email saying, hey, oh, this is so funny. Read this story. If you've got those, send them in, bearcrawling@gmail.com, and I'll read them on the show. So here's the last one. Now, this is one I picked. It is a little more serious. But I wanted to talk about it because I believed it would get lost in everything else that's been going on. But this is from the Detroit Free Press at freep.com. Freep.com. The source says, at least three dead in shooting at Berrien County Courthouse. Man, this has got to stop. St. Joseph, Michigan. At least three people are dead at the Berrien County Courthouse following a shooting, an employee at the county prosecutor's office said. Three people are dead and one person is injured, said the employee, who wished not to be named. Michigan State Police confirmed the shooting around 2:30 p.m. Monday, July 11th. Two of the people are, that's today. I mean, this is breaking news. Two of the people dead are court bailiffs. The other person dead is the shooter, the employee said. Berrien County Sheriff Paul Bailey, in a news conference, said those injured were taken to Lakeland Regional Medical Center in St. Joseph for treatment. Brave officers took down the shooter, adding the suspect was an in-custody inmate. Man, this is honestly, this is the kind of thing we do expect. This is because he's an inmate for a reason. He's in jail for a reason. And the officers are armed for a reason in courthouses. We it's still sad. It still sucks. But we have enough of this. We have enough of this in the world that we don't need riots in the streets to add to it. We don't need protest marches. In this case, in this day and age, and I could be wrong, but in this day and age with social media and news, and if they're not covering what you want, get your voice piece out. Maybe a march is that. Maybe a march is the only place some people feel like they can say their voice. But in the case of the racially motivated shootings, okay, I know at least one of the victims was shot by a white cop. A black man was shot by a white cop. I honestly don't know the truth of the story. And actually, by Friday, I hope to dig in to the things that set off this Dallas shooting and find more solid information on what's going on. But I covered a story back. And I'm going to get back to the story here about the deputies. But this sets off of something else. This is something we never see. I have jailer friends who tell stories not quite like this, but that they tell stories all the time when they're in jeopardy because they have to deal with inmates. That's what they... No. Let me rephrase. They don't have to. They could go get a job at Walmart. They could get a job in private security. They have chosen to serve the public in what I feel like is the worst possible situation where we put all the bad guys. And no, not everybody in prison or jail is a bad guy. Yes, the system is messed up. I am right there with you. But a lot of them in jail and in prison are bad guys. And the people who watch after them have to put so much on the line to do it. And shootings like this in a courthouse where it is expected. That's why there's so much security there. We've got enough of this that we don't need Dallas and we don't need other things. War is what we're going for here. If we don't stop, if we don't start talking about love, start about talking about higher powers, I think all police departments need an overhaul. We need mandatory psych evals for every single officer and every single department in the United States. And before we do the psych eval, we need to have some standards set forth that say, if you show this much fear or this much anger or this kind of negative reaction to these type of questions, and the type of questions would be a situation where you pull somebody over and you already know it's a dangerous situation, and set them up psychologically to be tense, because that's what they are in this situation. And you set them up to be psychologically tense, even if they're sitting on a desk. And then you ask them, the guy says he has a gun permit, he's going to grab the gun permit, and he moves. What do? And you throw them off and see the reaction. And some cops will react fine. Some cops will put their hand on their gun, because that's what you should do, to give an extra second to see what they pull out of their pocket. But some cops are going to do what that guy did, and he shot the man. I don't think black people are being hunted. I think there's too much fear out there, and we need to find the source of it. We need to retrain the officers. We need to get past, oh, that sucks for them, I would never do that. We need to get away from and I've dealt with police officers on both sides of the law. I've been one where the cop was questioning me, and as a paramedic, I've been right there with the police officers in situations. Then I got to tell you, we've got to get rid of this us against them mentality. That is rampant in neighborhoods, and that is rampant in police stations. It can never be an us against them, or a war will come. But coming back to this story, so a Berrien County commissioner told WZZM's ABC affiliate WBND reporter Vahid Sadruza, I'm sorry, I can't say the name, on scene that a man who was on his way to jail took a gun off a deputy and started opening fire. They do a lot. The jailers do a lot to protect that, but it can happen. Things happen. Human beings wear the badge. Human beings wear the cuffs. Human beings are the common denominator in everything that is happening, both good and bad, in this world. And it sucks that deputy's mistake somehow, and I'm not blaming anybody. Trust, there's no blame here. What I'm saying is, it was obviously a mistake, because if on paper, if everything's done by the book, this doesn't happen. The weapon's secured right. The prisoner is secured right. Yes, things can happen, but you have two people there. But unfortunately, something happened. A mistake was made. A deputy lost his life. And the second deputy lost their life. And the guy in jail, who could be innocent, because I don't know his crime, I don't know the case, I don't know anything. But let's, for sake of argument, let's say he is innocent. He's dead too, because he made a bad choice. His choice at the time was to take a gun and try to shoot his way out. That's breaking news coming out of Michigan right now. So the world is a serious place, and we need to take it seriously. But we need to understand that, for lack of sounding weak and woo-woo or whatever, but love and happiness, man. Love and happiness conquers everything. One quick story before I get out of here. I want to talk about love and happiness. I was parked in a place I thought was legal a couple months ago. I was working a gig where I'm making $75 a night. And I parked in this place, and I see this car flashing lights about where I parked. It's like yellow lights. And I decided to tell the audience I'm going to take a quick break, and I put new music on autoplay, and I went outside. And sure enough, they had booted my car. I'm like, why'd you boot my car? And the guy, and I said it like that, why'd you boot my car, man? And he got super defensive and aggressive immediately. And I'm a white guy, he's a white guy. I had nothing to do with race or place where we were. I said, why'd you boot my car? And I said, no, man, wait. I'm just saying, nobody parks here. The place is closed that it's reserved. And man, he got aggressive again. So I actually took a step. I literally physically took a step back in case I was towering over him. And I didn't feel like I was, but in case he felt like I was, I took a step back. Hey, stop. Let's start over. Hi, I'm Charles. I stuck my hand out to shake his hand. And he looked at me for a second, and he took my hand. He's like, well, my name is Charles, too. And apparently he never met another Charles in his life because he made a huge deal about it. And so I calmed it. I said, hey, I feel like you're being aggressive. I don't know why. I just want to ask you some questions. And, man, the whole tone changed because I did not react to him. I acted by controlling the situation. And I think more of us need to do that with peace and smiles and love. If from what the story says so far, if the officer who shot the guy who was being Facebook streamed, who apparently said he had a gun, he was a registered gun over, he was getting his registration, if the cop had just taken a step back, one, you're in a safer shooting position, and secondly, you're ready if something happens and you can give that extra 2 seconds. You can. And then maybe we wouldn't be talking about that story. You can find more of me on facebook.com/rockgodofpodcasting. Follow me on Twitter @rockgodofpod. Find me on this show, Chaos and Coffee, is facebook.com/chaosandcoffee. And over on blogtalkradio.com/chaosandcoffee. I'd love to hear from you. You can go to charlesmcfall.com. And there's a nice little speak pipe tab there. You can leave me a voice message. I'll play it on the show. Maybe. Maybe. I'm not exactly sure where the show is going right now. And I'm not sure how much listener participation in voice I'm going to allow it to have. But give it a shot. Let me hear what you have to say. And email me, bearcrawling@gmail.com. I'll be back on Friday, hopefully with some more updates, details on the 2 shootings that set off the whole Dallas incident, and more news to bring smiles to your faces and give you something else to talk about. Thanks for listening.